section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
Who is the latest inductee into the WWE Hall of Fame? What's going on with Joseph Parks? And the countdown to the WWE Network continues. All this and much, much more in this week's Off the Mark.
This is TNA Impact referee Brian Hebner, and you're listening to Off the Mark.
86 Productions.
Episode of Off the Mark. We are the podcast that provides the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew. He is Aaron. Let's get right into the news. So Roman Reigns is going to be the next John Cena?
That's what they're saying backstage. They're saying that Roman Reigns is the heir apparent to John Cena. So I got to ask you, I mean, it's very, very early on. What do you think? Do you see him being the guy in a couple years?
No, he has a look, and that's the look they're going for. But the one thing that, how should I put it? Wrestling's going to be in a boom here. I, you know, as some people have said, in the next few years, I don't think that's the look that they're going to go for. I think the wrestling boom is going to be basically the technical stuff in the ring. So him, who can't wrestle, I mean, okay. He can wrestle. His matches have improved, but I don't know if they've improved enough to basically get around like how John Cena does. I don't think he will ever get to that point. I'm just saying.
Hold on a second. You're saying wrestling is going to hit a boom.
According to Jeff Jarrett, wrestling is going to hit a boom here.
According to Jeff Jarrett, but let me ask you, do you agree with him?
To a certain extent, I believe him. But I don't believe it's going to be a big boom like the Monday Night Wars. I believe that you're going to have another promotion that comes up. But I believe that that one will come up. It'll be there. And then people will start to go to other places like Ring of Honor. Because the WWE, if you remember, recently did a thing with Ring of Honor on their website, which I believe was CM Punk heavy, but they took him out. But the cool part about that was that they're promoting Ring of Honor. And I'm not saying that one of their events last weekend that drew 800 people without AJ Styles. I don't know if that had something to do with it or not, but you can make that argument, especially when they're getting half that at most shows without AJ Styles. And then, you know, this one didn't have AJ Styles, the WWE article, you put two and two together, bam.
I think that WWE article, they were probably trying to do what they did with the ECW, which is help out another promotion in the sense that they know that they will never be true competition. So I think that might have been what they were doing. But let's get back to the original topic, Roman Reigns being the heir apparent to Cena. You say that you don't think he is. I actually will disagree, and I think that he will be the heir apparent. And the reason why is because they're going to position him in such a way that he will slowly be built up over time in the same way John Cena was, and they're going to make him that superstar. John Cena didn't come out of the gate and become, oh, I'm now the greatest person to ever live. No, that was not the case. Was not the case at all. He was slowly built up over time. And if with Roman Reigns, if they do the same thing, then I do agree. I think that he will be the next heir apparent because he has the look. And he has okay mic skills, and he can get better on that, then guess what? Your in-ring ability does not matter. John Cena, Hulk Hogan, they will tell you that.
But the thing is, Cena connected with the kids. That's the one thing that Roman Reigns is going to have to do. He has to connect to the kids.
He will have to, yes.
How is he going to do that? Cena did it with the gimmick. You can't see me, and I can't remember the other stuff, Ruthless Aggression. Like all that, the spinner belts. Okay, that was how he connected with the kids because they're like, oh, that's so neat.
Okay.
Reigns?
Who was in between Hogan and Cena?
Austin.
Okay. How did he connect with the kids?
He
by
didn't,
drinking beer?
He didn't connect with the kids, though. That's the thing.
Oh,
but
he did.
I believe that you still have to connect to the kids first. Austin.
Well, then
didn't.
How did Austin get so big?
Because there was at that time adults were watching wrestling and they wanted
to
see
that. Adults are going
to
watch wrestling.
Okay. All right. You do make a good point. All right. But the thing is, there was a different time. During that period, adults were watching it. Kids weren't.
And you're saying kids adults aren't going
to
watch it.
But the thing is, this is a PG era. So you have to put out a PG person. John Cena, they changed into a PG person. And he connected with them with the wristbands and the spinner. Like I said earlier, he connected with them with that way. What are they going to do with Roman Reigns? They're going to have to do something with him in order for him to connect with the crowd. I've been trying to figure it out. I bet you that they will try at least three times and fail on all three. And then I think they'll finally say, all right, he's not it. Let's move to Shane Helms. That's who should have used all that time ago. So the WWE Hall of Fame is definitely going to air on the network. Are you excited?
I actually am a little bit. I am going to be happy to actually watch it uninterrupted. During that time, I'm going to be off of work, and so I'm going to be able to watch it.
Are you serious? You're going to be off?
Well, yeah, because my son will be born, but that's a whole nother story. So,
oh no, I thought you meant like when a network launches, you're going to be home. I was like, wait, you're taking the day off?
I'm not taking the day off. No, I'm not going to take the day off for that. No way. No. Because the Hall of Fame, that's the day before WrestleMania. That's why.
Well, okay. All right, I see your point.
So
on
it's
that.
Saturday night. So I'm probably not going out. I mean, so anyway, so I'm going to be able to watch it live, which I actually like. I think that's going to be really cool. And I think that it's a really good idea because it then gives people another incentive to get the network because you get something like this. And speaking of the Hall of Fame, Andy, your girl, Lita, is the newest inductee.
Yeah, Amy Dumas, a.k.a. Lita, is going to be in the Hall of Fame, which I figure this is going to happen. I did not think it would be this year. I thought it'd be next year because Trish coming in, then you have a dead space. Because I thought I really believe that Cyndi Lauper is going to be inducted. Don't ask me why, but I believe it. You could have had Cyndi Lauper like Mr. T this year and then have Lita the following year. And I think it would have been bigger, but they're pulling out all punches, dude. I mean, in a way.
Well, hold on. Let me ask you this. Do you think she deserves to be in the Hall of Fame?
That's a tough one, dude. I would actually say no.
I disagree with you.
And
I think she does deserve.
I think she deserves it,
but not yet.
No, she's too young. There's other people that should go in before she does.
I would argue that
Medusa's not in the Hall of Fame, is she?
She'll never will either.
But she should.
She should, but she never will. About throwing away a title that
you mean the trash? Hey, but if it's going to bring money to the place, let's bring it in. So NXT is going to have a pay-per-view on the network. It's going to be on Thursday. It's going to compete against Impact that night as well. And it's going to be themed NXT Arrival, which is going to introduce everyone to NXT, which I believe that there'll be people called up very fast because of this pay-per-view. It's great. I'm looking forward to it. They're going to have Sami Zayn versus Antonio Cesaro. I mean Cesaro, because Antonio is no longer there. So it's Sami Zayn versus Cesaro in a 2 out of 3 falls match. If you missed it the first time, just go to Hulu and watch it. It was great. You have Bo Dallas is going to be defending his title against Adrian Neville. I can't even say his name. I'm not even going to bother. And then we also have Paige versus Emma, which those three matches alone are going to be awesome. They're probably going to add a couple more, but those three matches alone, I would actually say they're all on the same. Well, if you had to really rank it, Cesaro versus Sami Zayn or El Generico.
So anyway, so the big news here, though, is that NXT is actually going to have a pay-per-view. And I think that's actually a pretty big deal because when you think about it, NXT has been kind of this, it's OVW, it's FCW. It is this undercard promotion, it's developmental, but they're actually promoting them and they're going to have something for them. And I think that's really smart because then people are going to look at that and say, you know what? I really connect with X. I really like Y. I think that's a really big deal. And so I think that this is very smart on WWE's part because guess what? You're going to be able to build stars and you're going to be able to build them faster because you see somebody like a Sami Zayn who you go, you know what? That kid is ready. But then you might see somebody like a Bo Dallas who they are pushing down your throats. And it's like, you know what? I actually don't like that kid. I don't think that he's ready for the prime time. So very smart move on their part. Andy, there is some contract expiration news. I don't know if we had talked about Alberto Del Rio, but he said that he is probably going to leave when his contract is up. And the latest one, and I think, kind of a big one, is Christian.
Yep, C-squared is actually looks like he's just going to hang out the boots. He's going through the motions, as they say, and it wouldn't surprise me if he's that he just calls it. And kudos to him. He can do it. I'm pretty sure he saved up his money enough where he, and this is probably his final run was to do this. It's sad, but also the WWE aren't doing, they aren't doing anything with him. He'll probably end up doing something with the network, you know, here and there, but that's it. I mean,
he'll sign a Legends contract and he'll go away. He, if they didn't have the two titles, I would say he was never main event material. He was never WWE, you know, title material. With the World Heavyweight Championship, because that became such a secondary belt, the one thing that upset me was that he never had a proper run with the title. Instead, he held it for 2 days, gave it up to Randy Orton, and then he won it back and held it for 28 days and immediately lost it again. And that was, to me, I think, one of the biggest travesties that WWE could do. So, you know, he's had a really good career. He, in my opinion, is Hall of Fame worthy because of what he did for the tag team division. And, you know, I would like to see him, you know, be inducted. If he retires at the end of this year, you know, give it a few years and then induct him. I think that he deserves it.
Yeah, give him a few years. Don't announce now that he's going to be inducted into the Hall of Fame. You know, that's not the smart thing to do. Like Big E losing his last name. It's now, it's not Big E Langston. It's Big E, even though the Titantron says Big E Langston on it. So someone needs to white out the Langston part.
What do you think about dropping the names? We have Big E. We have Antonio. I heard that AJ Lee's going to become AJ and Alberto Del Rio is just going to become Del Rio. I mean, I don't know.
The Del Rio thing, you can't. I mean, I'm joking,
obviously, for the last ones, but the first
but
two.
AJ Lee would be funny if they did change it. So it's just AJ. Okay. The last name thing with Cesaro, I actually don't agree with it, but Dave Bautista was Dave Bautista, and then they went Bautista, and then you kind of forgot about Dave, the Dave part. I believe that if they still will mention the name like Cesaro, like they call him Antonio a couple of times, kind of like to get under his skin, if you want to do it that way. I see the point. Big E, I find weird because, you know, if his name was like Big Edward, then I understand the last name, but it's just Big E. Four letters, whatever. Mm-hmm. Fun fact, I wanted to ask you, do you know how many wins and losses JTG had last year at all events, including house shows?
Zero.
Zero and 18. So let's move on to WWE programming for this week.
Andy, I wanted to give a shout out to Ryback and Sheamus. We actually didn't talk about this match last week, but, you know, watched on SmackDown. And I got to say, I was actually impressed by this match. It was a pay-per-view quality match, and they gave them enough time to showcase both wrestlers. And, you know, of course, you pretty much had the idea Sheamus was going to win, which he did, but it still made both wrestlers look good. And I think that if they continue down this route for SmackDown, which we're going to talk about one of the matches that they had, which is, you know, actually a really big deal, it'll make more people want to tune into SmackDown in order to see these big quality matches.
Yeah, you know, that was one of those matches I was watching. I was fast forwarding as usual, and I had to rewind because I was surprised. And this I'll just say this now. I know I've said it before, but Sheamus can pretty much carry any wrestler, including Ryback, and make Ryback look like $1 million where you want to see him wrestle.
I actually think Ryback did a good job, too.
I think that Sheamus was calling every spot for Ryback to do, and that's why Ryback looks so well.
And maybe that's the case, but I'll say if you put the correct wrestlers together, they can make great matches. CM Punk and Cena was really great. Daniel Bryan and Cena was really great. Daniel Bryan and Ryback actually put on a really good match. Daniel Bryan and Kane, Ryback and Kane. You know, these are people that if you put them in the right place, you can have good matches. You can. And that's the big thing. You cannot mismatch them as WWE has been doing. And so, which, speaking of mismatching, Andy, Ziggler, he faced Alberto Del Rio this week, and he lost in 1.5 minutes.
Yeah. I have no idea what to think of this. You have no idea how upset I was. I stood up, paused it, walked around for a little bit. did a load of laundry.
Really? You, that's what you did? I was that mad. Because you saw a wrestling match that you were upset about the finish.
I was so mad because what was the point of him getting buried? Like, when it was all said and done, what was the point of Ziggler losing to Del Rio like that?
So that way Del Rio could be attacked after the match.
That's still stupid. You want JTG's around. Where's Drew McIntyre? Grab one of those other guys. Why Dolph Ziggler? Dolph Ziggler is way above those guys.
Well, he is above those guys, but apparently not above Del Rio. Is this a burial?
They're burying him for some reason. I have no idea why. And he's one of those guys that I would love to see a match, and this would headline a big pay-per-view, all right? Dolph Ziggler versus AJ Styles. To me, would sell out.
What? Why?
I think it would be an awesome match.
I'm sorry, you have one of the greatest wrestlers of all time versus somebody that's okay.
Who I believe could be one of the greatest wrestlers of all time.
Why? What does he do that's so great? Look, Ziggler is charismatic. Okay. Ziggler is good enough in the ring to make you like him. But he is not CM Punk. He is okay. Not Daniel Bryan. He's not AJ Styles.
Okay. All right. I'm going to throw something out there. Kevin Steen, Michael Elgin. Why would the WWE want them to be? Why would they want to take a look at him this week?
Because they're big guys. They're powerhouses. Michael Elgin is a power lifter.
He's short, though. So is Steen. Both of them are short and Steen's not as overweight as he was. I believe that when they're in the ring and they have their matches, they're set up where you notice certain things. Where, as in, like, if they have him in a headlock, like someone, I'll go over some other time, but someone had another, like this guy in a headlock and would not let out that headlock. And for 5 minutes, that's all they did was stupid headlocks over and over again, different variations of it. When the guy finally got out of it, the crowd stood up and cheered. When I watch matches with Ziggler and they let him wrestle, I just want to stand up and cheer because I think he puts on great matches, hands down. I think he's in at least the top 10 wrestlers who can put on a great match with anybody and make anyone look good.
If for WWE?
For WWE.
For WWE, maybe like in top 10, but like at the very end of the 10.
I'm including CM Punk as a 6. He's a 7.
So anyway, look, let's just talk, though, about him getting buried. I do believe that this is a burial. I think that he pissed somebody off backstage. I think that something happened because there's no reason. Alberto Del Rio was losing to Sin Cara a month ago. He was losing to Sin Cara. And now all of a sudden, like this, really? So but at the end of the match, Batista attacks Alberto Del Rio, puts him through a table. And, you know, looks like they're going to have a match at Elimination Chamber. You know, first of all, this is Batista's first match back, by the way. This is his first match.
Over under 10 minutes, including entrances.
Oh, under. Well, including entrances.
Ooh, under 12, under 12. Over under 12.
I would say under then for 12. Exactly. Like, I would say the match itself will probably be about 6 minutes.
Oh,
you know, that'd be my guess. Maybe they could go to 8 minutes for the match.
Oh, so by the way, real quick, on this segment, why was Batista in his wrestling attire if he wasn't scheduled to wrestle?
Yeah, I don't know. But Andy, the one thing I think that this is kind of a big deal, and this is really a bigger, you know, like looking at WWE as a whole, which this would take way too long. But Batista, okay, Randy Orton is your champion. He's barely featured. Batista is your number one contender. He should be number two in the company, right? He's shown on the show once, and the people are not really cheering him. The people don't really care. They don't. Like, I mean, he's kind of like, and he's supposed to be the headliner. What is going on?
See, I believe on this. I think the fans were like, we want Daniel Bryan. When people are saying that they've never seen anything since the what's, with Daniel Bryan, you start thinking, okay, well, the what thing is big. John Cena, you got to give John Cena credit. He's the one who did the yes and the no's, no matter what. But Daniel Bryan ran with it. He kept running with it, and it's a fun thing to do. You have your fingers in the air, yes, and you have your no's. Come on, Merch, put out those fingers. Anyways, I think the fans are just upset. They don't want to see Batista. They're like, we know that he's going to wrestle. He's going to be at the main event at WrestleMania, when I would rather see Daniel Bryan or CM Punk, you know, someone like that in the main event. I don't want to see Dave Batista because he's going to blow up in like 5 minutes. If that, he may blow up on the way to the ring. Fans don't
probably
want to
be in
that.
Better conditioning for WrestleMania.
Probably, but still.
I'm going to say something right now that, and this isn't controversial. I'm going to say this. If Daniel Bryan does not win the title at WrestleMania, if he does not win the title at WrestleMania, WWE has missed their window of opportunity. I'm not saying, look, you can put the title on Daniel Bryan in 6 months, and guess what? People will be happy about it. But Daniel Bryan right now is very hot. He is very hot. And you can do that like, oh, we don't want to give him to you yet. We're going to make you wait just a little bit longer. That's fine, but you cannot do that for 6 months. You can't.
But they've been doing this forever, since the whole Orton, him and Orton were feuding. They've been doing it. And the thing is, you bring Dave Batista back, people don't care. They want to see Daniel Bryan. If Daniel Bryan is not headlining WrestleMania, if it's Daniel Bryan versus Dave Batista, I think that would be a far better match, hands down.
For me right now, I'm actually getting less interested in the Daniel Bryan storyline. And I like Daniel Bryan as a character, and I like him as a person. He seems like a cool guy. However, though, the way it is, I'm getting less and less interested, to the point where if the payoff, he finally wins it, but it's kind of like, who cares? You know, like, oh, I guess he won. Like, for me, I'm not going to be as excited as if he wins at a WrestleMania. So that's that. But Andy, let's move on, though. Swagger wins the number one contenders match for the IC title. They're actually giving a little bit of love to this. Does Swagger have a chance?
No.
Okay. So, Andy, on SmackDown, Antonio Cesaro, or Cesaro.
Yes.
Defeats Randy Orton.
And what they might have said, it could be a 4-star match because it was that good. But the weird part was that, have you noticed that Randy Orton over the last few weeks has just improved his wrestling ability?
Andy, Antonio Cesaro defeated the champion, Randy Orton.
Yes. And this was a swerve, dude. I believe this is just a big curveball. They did
Cesaro.
So for the most part, has the win. And so people are like, who's this Cesaro guy all of a sudden? I just saw him do the swing and he's a real American.
Is he going to get a huge push?
I don't believe he will now. I believe that there's other people now. Okay. He may get a push against the U.S. title, which I would prefer to see.
He just defeated the champion of your company and you're going to push him for a title that should be held by JTG.
That's the light heavyweight title. No, I believe that Cesaro will be up there, but I believe it's Daniel Bryan's time. I believe that anyone else, no matter what the contract says, it's Daniel Bryan's time. You can have Daniel Bryan versus Antonio Cesaro, which we've seen that before. Well, I'm sorry. Okay. Indies have seen that before, and that would be a great match. But Cesaro is pretty much a face now. So you got to have him go against a heel person.
He's a heel.
No.
Sorry. Dude, so you're telling me that
he is a face and Swagger is a heel. It just works. The real Americans thing. The only reason they all shout "We the People," I believe, is because of Cesaro. I believe that if Cesaro
kept doing that before Cesaro.
But it wasn't as loud as it was. People like Antonio Cesaro. I think the wrestling fans are getting smarter and they want to see the matches. And Cesaro puts on great matches, so they're going to go.
Cesaro does put on great matches, but it's Zeb Coulter is the guy that's really pushing that. He is the mouthpiece. He is the one that's being the heel. He is the one that's doing the work. And let's be honest here. Cesaro is a heel. He took on Orton, who was also a heel. We had a heel versus heel main event at SmackDown, which is kind of weird. However, though, Cesaro won.
I'm telling you right now, Cesaro is a face. And now it's just one of those things.
Do you watch wrestling?
I watch wrestling a lot. I watched main event. I saw the.
Yeah, I don't
even
know.
We won't even get him what happened on main event.
Cesaro is a heel.
He's not. He's a face.
The only time people cheer him are when people were cheering CM Punk when he was a heel.
Okay. How come when he gets tagged in by Jack Swagger, they cheer? When he tags out for Swagger, there's no reaction.
Okay, so do you remember when CM Punk gave his famous promo?
Yes.
And he called everybody else idiots?
Yes.
He said, I hate all you. And you know what they did? They cheered.
Yes.
Was that a heel promo?
I believe they were trying to push him as a heel, but it didn't work. The fans wanted him as a face.
And Cesaro, who is a heel on paper, it doesn't matter if the paper, fans like him or not.
He may be, but in real life, he is a face. It's weird. They in have real. Two heel. Okay, I'm sorry. Okay. On paper, that group is considered three heels. But reality is that they have one face and two heels.
So you're saying that the fans like him, and so there's probably going to be a turn soon.
I believe that eventually Zeb and Swagger will somehow kick Cesaro out, and Cesaro will have a feud with that, and then eventually he'll go for the main title at some point.
Okay. I could see that. I think that could be an interesting
And that's why I think it'd be interesting if Big E dropped the title to Swagger and then Cesaro gets jealous and then fights him at WrestleMania for the title.
And I don't think those two should put on a WrestleMania match, but we could probably talk about this for a while. I do think that
We could talk about it for another hour if we wanted to, but we can't.
I think that Cesaro is good enough that he can be up there with the big boys, and his match against Orton shows that.
Yes. So let's thank our sponsor, HostGator. Are you a blogger, a podcaster, or are you just not happy with your web host? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited disk space and unlimited bandwidth with a one-click script installs with a free site builder and hands down the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And if you use the special coupon code OFFTHEMARK, you're going to save 25% off your web hosting packages. So what do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite of your web hosting costs. Also, make sure you check out Section 86 Off The Mark page and click at the banner at the top to save big items at WWEShop.com. So let's move on to Impact Wrestling this week. I heard that TNA is going to open up their TNA network. Oh, wait, I'm just kidding. So Gunnar and Storm actually defeat Ethan and Magnus, so they get both cases. So does that mean that Gunnar's going to actually cash in the tag briefcase with Storm?
That's what it sounds like. He announced that he's going to cash in the World Heavyweight Championship briefcase next week. And so that's the plan right now. And then I guess they're going to cash in the tag cases together. So,
well, are they going to do it together, though? Because that's the one thing that they haven't said.
That is what they insinuated. Right. And more than likely, because Gunnar doesn't have another tag team partner, more than likely he's probably going to have Storm be his man.
Who was his tag team partner before? Do you remember?
I don't remember. I think he teamed with like
Curry Man? Somebody.
There was some really crappy wrestler that he teamed with. I can't think of it right now, but either way. Yeah, so that's going on. We'll probably have more stuff to talk about between those two next week. Mm-hmm. The Wolves, though, Andy, you know, like one of your favorite tag teams, the Wolves, sure, got their first match. It was a six-man tag, though, but it was against the Bromans. What'd you think of their match in TNA?
Interesting. It's one of those things where it's cool to see them wrestle, but I've seen the match before, pretty much. Nothing against them. It's just that I kind of see why the WWE didn't jump on them right away, because I think this match was – I think I've seen this match before. Nothing against them, but I also think they played it safe on a taping where they could have gone and done some different moves, but it looked good. But also – You can argue that, okay, the non-wrestling fan is going to be here. There's more non-Ring of Honor fans that have never seen these guys, so they can put on that match. That's going to be great, and it's safe. Hey, you know, great job. I'm glad to see them. I would love to see them improve their matches. I can't wait to see what they have in stall for them. And the best part is you don't need to put the tag titles on them. You can wait.
No, you don't.
You can keep Bromance. They can keep the tag titles. And the American Wolves just go out there and then finally be like, you know, we've been here for so long. We just want to shout the tag titles. So pony up.
Let me ask you a question. When you think about the Wolves, like how many thousands of people would you say have heard of them before?
Let's say there's a million viewers for TNA. I would say maybe 75,000 have. And I'm being very conservative because I believe that it could be as high as 200,000. But I believe.
So you're saying anywhere from 7 to 20% of TNA viewers have heard of them?
Yes.
You know, I would probably agree. I would have probably said like 10 to 15 would be where I would put it. So I agree. They probably did play it safe. But that's not a bad thing, because you're going to see these people and they're going to get better and better. And, you know, if. you know, I don't know if this would happen or not, but if you brought back Generation Me, if you had Motor City Machine Guns, Beer Money, if you had those tag teams there, then you could have some really amazing stuff going on. So I hope that they do reinvigorate the tag division there, because I think that they could really use that. And I like tag team wrestling. I really do. And I like good tag team wrestling, innovative tag team wrestling. So, and I think that's something that the Wolves do.
Just out of curiosity, did you like the Velvet Sky Chris Sabin match?
We're not talking about that, Andy.
let's talk about Abyss doing the Jekyll and Mr. Hyde gimmick. What are your thoughts on it?
So I think we called it Hulk, but I think it's more Jekyll and Hyde, I think, is actually a better way to explain it. I think it's okay. I think that they just didn't have a whole lot to do with him and a whole lot to do with Eric Young, so they decided to throw them together. I kind of want to see him, though, go off on somebody else. I want to see him go off on like, I would say actually Ethan Carter. I think EC3, that'd be a perfect person for him to go off on, because I think the people would go nuts for that. But they kind of want to make him a little bit of a tweener, because, you know, he's attacking, you know, Eric Young, but he's, you know, so that kind of makes him a heel, but he's still like kind of a fan favorite. So,
but I believe that he has to be a face, because I think the fans want him to be. I think they want them together. Like, it's kind of like the Kane Dane O'Brien stuff they did last year over the last few years. I think people want to see Abyss be a good guy right now. So it would be awesome if at a later pay per view that he would then turn. So if he's going to turn, not now, wait. And then wait till something happens where it's going to be him and Eric Young on top of the world, and Abyss just gives him a black hole slam, and then bam, he's heel. So that's why I hope they end up doing something like that, which would be awesome. But we'll see what happens. I dig it right now. I don't like – the one thing I don't dig, dude, I don't like casket matches. That, to me, that's one of those things that there's a line that I don't like to cross, and that's it. The casket match, coffin match, whatever you want to call it. Buried Alive match. I don't care for those. I wish they would just end it. But Anderson and Bully, it looks like their feud's over with.
Do you want it to be over with?
Not really. But it was kind of interesting how they've spaced it out over time, where it's even though they didn't wrestle or they didn't appear on TV, they spaced it like a segment here and a segment here, where they could put two segments in a show, and then that's good enough. So, and they show the live crowd, because, you know, behind the scenes, you know, of course, Anderson showed on TV, he had twins. So it was nice that he got the time off. And I think Bully was also hurting a little bit. So the way that this storyline has worked out, it's worked out good for both wrestlers.
Yeah, I agree. And I like what you said. You know, it was very little here and there, and it wasn't shoved in your face, wasn't put down your throat. And it's actually kind of funny to think about it. Their feud has been going on for like 4 months. You know, I mean, or if not longer, I mean, it's been going on for a while. So it's actually kind of smart booking on their part for these two. I do agree with you too. Casket matches, I hate to say it, I think they only work for two people, Undertaker and Kane. You know, I think that's their gimmick.
That's the thing. That's their gimmick, and they could pull it off. But I think when other people try, like even at indie shows, I don't like it. It just something it really bothers me. Like
you do a stretcher match instead.
Stretcher match is one thing, but like when you put someone, you put them in the grave, and it has nothing to do with their gimmick. To me, it almost feels like they're killing. But if you're the Undertaker or Kane, that's kind of what their deal is.
Yeah,
that's one thing. But yeah, I think they took it a little too far on this one. But that's just my personal aspect of it.
What do you see Anderson doing, though, if let's say the feud is over? Because really, that type of match is kind of ends the feud. Where do you see Anderson going?
You got to have him do something heel. So I would.
Well, Anderson's the face, though.
Well, I'm sorry. You have to have him do something against a heel. I believe that he'll do something against Ethan Carter, and I have no idea why I believe it, but I do believe he'll end up doing something with him. So great, I guess. But I'll probably put Ethan Carter over, I'm assuming. But, you know, Ethan Carter hasn't lost yet, besides his tag matches match, technically, but it was considered a DQ, and he also lost his very first match when he did the that thing that they were doing for a while. I can't remember what it's called, where they'd bring someone in and they'd give him a test run.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I think I agree. I think EC3 would be a pretty good opponent for him. That might be a pretty good route. I don't know if you want to put him in the world title picture yet, or maybe have him like on the cusp of that, you know, wrestling people for the number one contenders match. Actually, what would be really smart, Anderson versus Rude.
Yeah, because that hasn't, I don't think that's been done yet.
No, I don't think it has.
Nice long feud.
I think those two would be a pretty good one.
I think Bully and Anderson, when their feud was really, it was psychological. And I think that's why the casket was bothersome to me, because it felt like they were really killing something. Anyways, but yeah, so it was getting back to Rude and Anderson. I believe that that could be done properly. It would be good for both wrestlers, because I believe that they could put on some decent matches. I almost want somehow Rude to do something to Anderson in order for the feud to start. So Anderson just comes out, does something, and then he comes out and says, I don't like your tone, so let's rumble or whatever, which would be cool.
Yeah, I think it would be. I do. But TNA, you know, they're still over in England, you know, tapings wise. So I think we have two more shows of this, making them look like really big. And then, you know, for the pay-per-view, it'll be pretty small again.
So before we end the show, I just want to say something to you. And I think this is something we need to talk about next week. We need to talk about what we're going to do the day of the WWE Network getting launched. What are we going to do? And then how long it's really going to take us to sign up. So we need to do a little segment on that, because I think it would be interesting, because I already planned my day out.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I planned the first from 7:30 a.m. Central Standard Time until work starts at 8:30. I already planned that time out. And then what the first thing I'm going to watch is going to be. So we should talk about that next week.
Okay.
So anyways, that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at AuthorMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast. And I want to thank all of our listeners for taking the time to download and listen to the show. And for Aaron Hughes, I am Andrew Hughes. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.